Last week, Mark set out our Advent theme and the Advent challenge that we talked about with the children earlier. Over this month, we're encouraging us all to read through Luke's Gospel, a chapter a day, starting from chapter 1 and think about the Annunciation, right through to the road to Emmaus in chapter 24. And during this month, we'll prepare ourselves and we begin to think about Jesus and his time on this earth, not just his birth, but what that meant for the whole of his ministry and the whole of his time here. Each day, as we go through that, there's resources for us to help reflect on each of the chapters. I hope some of you have been able to look at the Facebook page over this past week, the Gorebridge Parish Church Facebook page, which has each day an extract of the reading. It's also used some of the artwork that you see up there, the artwork that's been done by Ian Campbell. And also every day there's a video being posted of somebody talking about how the picture that was created by Ian Campbell for that chapter and some of the stories behind the models that were used for that. As we go through each Sunday, as we explore Luke together, two of the key things that we want to do is we want to think about Christ's humanity. And we want to think about the Lord being with us. Not just over Advent, not just at Christmas, but the Lord being with us all year. And as Mark said last week, we want to encourage you to read it for yourself. Spend time each day reading that or listen to it or however you engage with it. Read the extract from the Dear Theo book. And just allow God to speak to you through those words. Look for things that maybe you haven't noticed before. Focus in on one or two of the verses, on one or two of the stories that Jesus is telling or the people that he's meeting. If you're going home today and reading, it'll be Luke chapter 8. And the story that Ian Campbell used for the image for chapter 8 was the woman who touched Jesus' hem. The hem of Jesus' garment. And with that today, there is a video. There's a great video to watch. I encourage all of you to go home and watch that. We'll be looking a wee bit of it later in this morning's service. But it's a great story about the young woman who is portrayed in that picture. It's a story of God's transformational power. It's a young woman from Glasgow who's been through some tough times. But she found new life and new hope, restoration through Jesus. And as I say, we'll touch on that towards the end of today's service. If you've been doing the challenge over this past week, we'll have read through 7 chapters so far in Luke's Gospel. We'll have read about the birth of John, the birth of Jesus. I don't know if any of you spent time in the genealogy that was in there in Luke's Gospel. There's this huge list of Joseph's ancestors. As I was reading it, I was thinking, you know, you get who do you think you are on BBC television. You know, and it goes back 2 or 3 generations to find some interesting stories. Joseph's list goes back right back to Adam. There's stories about the temptation of Jesus. We'll have read about the start of his ministry, the healings that he did. We'll have read about a fishing trip. We'll have read about the calling of disciples and some great teaching that came from Jesus, teaching that has come down through the centuries, the story of the wise man and the foolish man building their houses, the parable of the sower, all that in the first 7 chapters of Luke that we've covered this week. So as you chat to people after the service, maybe over coffee, why not share one of the things that you picked up this week? Something that struck you from your reading, anything that surprised you, or anything that's made you ask questions. As I've been reading through that, there's been 3 themes that have really struck me from the first few chapters. First of all is Jesus' concern for the undesirables. There's a lot of people in there that other people don't like. There's the poor and the oppressed. We see the cheating tax collectors. There's a group of people that appear often throughout Luke who are simply called sinners. We don't know what they've done, but they're obviously a bad group of people. And there's people there with skin diseases and disabilities. And that's who Jesus comes towards. That's who Jesus speaks to. Jesus spends time with the undesirables. There's also a theme that I picked up about the number of women who are mentioned in those first few chapters of Luke, playing really key roles in the whole story. It starts with Elizabeth and then goes on to Mary. And then you've got Anna. And then you've got Simon's mother-in-law. Then you've got the widow in Nain. And then you've got a 12-year-old girl who died. Then there's a woman who touched his garment. And then there's a woman who poured perfume on Jesus' feet. And that's the person we're going to be thinking about today. And the third theme that I've picked up is that as you're kind of reading through this, and as you start reading through the early chapters of Luke, there's the emergence of this group of people called the Pharisees who start to appear in the story and who start to sort of appear at the edge of what's going on. They're the religious people of the day. They're the people that the Bible teachers. And they appear on the scene and they start to watch what Jesus is up to. They've heard what Jesus is doing, and they ask questions. They start to ask questions about what he's doing. They start to notice that Jesus is somebody who doesn't follow the rules. They notice that he was forgiving people, and that was something that only God could do. They notice that he's hanging out with the undesirables, and they start to notice that he's breaking rules that they've held and are really important to them, rules such as keeping the Sabbath. So in today's service, some of these themes that I picked up in the first few chapters all come together in a dinner party that Jesus was invited to that we read about in Luke chapter 7. It's a story about a meal table, and it's got an unwanted guest, and it leads to an argument that takes place between Jesus and the host of the dinner party. Is that a scene that you can maybe relate to? I'm just wondering if any of you have ever experienced an awkward dinner party or been in a night out that's suddenly gone a bit wrong. It can sometimes happen. Sometimes happen, particularly around this time of year. Take a minute just now, just turn around to the person sitting next to you and think about an incident, if it's not too painful, but think about an incident which, you know, you've been at a dinner party and it's gone wrong. Imagine yourself, or imagine what that situation might look like, where sometimes it's got a wee bit awkward. Just turn around just now and share a story of an incident that you can remember where things have you had an awkward night out. Sounds like a few of you have got experiences that you can relate to. As I was thinking about this today and reading over the passage, I couldn't help but thinking back of Christmas nights out in the past, you know, with my work. And, you know, just we've had some brilliant nights out, and I just remember some awful nights where all the tensions that had built up over the year come out around the dinner table and people start falling out with each other. People refuse to speak to each other. I reckon the story that we're looking at today wouldn't have been a million miles away from some of the experiences that we might have had ourselves. I want you to just think about that. Think about one of those experiences, one of those awkward nights out, or one of those awkward dinner parties, as we head through the passage together. Put yourself into the situation, the smells, the foods, the location, the noise, the tension that is there in the room, and the reaction of other people around the table. By the time we get to Luke chapter 7, Jesus is getting pretty well known. He's got a reputation for eating and drinking. And the Pharisees that we talked about were criticizing the choice of company, criticizing the people that Jesus decided to hang out with. But as I said, he also intrigued those religious people of his day, the Pharisees and the Bible teachers. They criticized them, but they were fascinated by him. And they spent time watching him, asking questions. And on one occasion, one of these Pharisees, a guy called Simon, decided to ask Jesus over for dinner. And we read about it in Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36. If you want to read along on the screen, or pick up the Bible, or look at it on your phone as we go through reading from the New Living Translation. It's Luke chapter 7, and it starts at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We said last week one of the themes we're going to look at over this next few weeks is the humanity of Jesus. And as we go through today's passage, I want us to think about, first of all, the humanity of Jesus. And then I want to see how this story gives us a glimpse of what it means for the Lord to be with us, one of the other key themes that we've got through Advent. And finally, we'll think about the mission of Jesus, what this story has to tell us about the mission of Jesus, the reason why he was born that very first Christmas. So let's start off by thinking about Jesus and his humanity. As we looked at this last week, Mark introduced the theme and he introduced this picture of the baby. It's a picture that literally screams out to us. Jesus is God, but Jesus was also human, very human. He was born as a baby and did everything that babies do. In our passage today, Jesus was grown up. He was a man, and he was eating. He was drinking. He was getting annoyed. He put Simon in his place. This is not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus got involved in the everyday. He got involved in the situations that we can imagine, that we can put ourselves in, that we recognize from our own lives. He doesn't float above as some kind of apparition. He's not separated them from them by some kind of holy aura. He could be touched, and he was sitting beside them round the table. He ate and he drank. As I was reading, I was wondering, what was Jesus' favorite food? He would have had something he would have liked more than others. Was there anything he didn't like? What sort of food would Jesus not eat? Did he prefer red wine or white wine? How would he have been round the table? The inference that we get from this story and the passage that building up to this is Jesus liked a night out. Jesus was with people. He liked to socialize. So much so that the people round about him actually accused him of being a drunkard. That's what Jesus was. That's who Jesus was. He talked to people around the table. He told stories. He explained things using stories that people could relate to. I once went to a talk, and it was entitled, Jesus Was a Comedian. And the inference from that talk was that Jesus was fun to be around. And the whole premise of the theory that was given was that Jesus must have been really entertaining. Otherwise, there's no way he could have got 5,000 people to sit and listen to him and miss their dinner. But some of the stories, as we read them and we put them into context, some of the comparisons that Jesus drew, they must have been funny. They must have been amusing in their original context. So Jesus ate, he drank, he was fun to be around. He liked to be out. And then we have the interaction with Simon. This is a situation that just feels very, very real. He's at dinner, and then he overhears somebody talking about him and talking about his friend. It may have been that Simon had said something out loud, or it may have been that Jesus just was able to see right through him, saw a look in his eyes and read his thoughts. But in one comment, Simon not only highlights the woman's dubious character, but he also starts to question Jesus' judgment and Jesus' status. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman is who's touching him, that she's a sinner. Ouch. I mean, it's barbed, you know, can feel the barbed comments coming there from Simon. And then Jesus responds and just goes, Simon, I've got something to say to you. Everyone goes silent. You can cut the tension in the room. You can imagine people just putting down their forks, putting down their glasses, go, what is going to happen here? Is this about to kick off? Simon then escalates it. Go on then. If you've got something to say, say it. You can just imagine every eye turning in the room, looking towards Jesus. What is he going to say? How's this going to go? Jesus has the attention of everybody there. Who's going to get the better in this dialogue? Jesus breaks the tension by telling a story. He tells a story of the two debtors, one who owed a little and one who owed a lot. Both are forgiven, and then he asks Simon about it. When Simon gives the answer that Jesus was looking for, then Jesus calls Simon out, calls him out big style in front of his guests. He's in Simon's house, and he calls him out in front of everybody that's there. First of all, there was no water when I arrived. When you arrived in a house in those days, your feet would be dusty and dirty, and it was common courtesy to offer somebody some water to wash their feet. You didn't provide any water. Second, you never even bothered kissing me when I came in. There was no indication that Simon had any respect for him, no sign of friendship, no pretense of a welcome. And then he said, there was no oil for my head. This seems a bit strange to us, but olive oil for the head was something that you did when you sat down to eat with other people in that culture. It was a hygienic thing. It's a bit like washing your hands, or it would be like some kind of deodorant, just covering up any other smells that would have been there from living in that ancient city. And Simon had done nothing. Jesus had arrived, and there'd been no water, no kiss, no oil. And Jesus called him out big style in front of everybody that was sitting round the table in Simon's house. It wasn't just a lack of good manners. It wasn't just a lack of hospitality. Simon had been rude. Simon had been offensive. And Jesus was calling him out for it. But then Jesus went further and pointed out that the woman who Simon was having a go at, she'd actually been a better host than him, even though she hadn't even been invited to the party. We were thinking earlier about awkward nights out, awkward dinner parties. so we can picture the scene. We can see Jesus eating. We can hear him speaking. We can see the humanity of that situation that he was involved in. The second thing that we're going to draw out from this passage is that the Lord is with us. And it gives us a glimpse of what it means to have the Lord being with you in every and any situation. Jesus has got the woman's back. She's got Jesus standing up for her. Jesus isn't allowing Simon to speak of her like that. In the situation, the labels of who's sinner, who's righteous, they disappear. In Jesus' eyes, he sees us, not the label that we've been given by society, not the label that we've maybe put on ourselves. The Lord is with her, and so her status changes. And when Jesus is with her, the uninvited guest is the one who leaves forgiven. No one wanted her to be there. But she's the one that ends up having the best night out of them all. She leaves as someone who has been saved because of her faith in Jesus. When Jesus is with us, the tables are turned. It's not the righteous, clean-living, socially acceptable, Bible-expert Pharisee that Jesus commends. It's the sinner that Jesus commends. As we get ready for Christmas, one of the things that seems to become an annual tradition of the last few years is a John Lewis advert. My daughter was really excited looking forward to the John Lewis advert this year and waited to the day it was on and showed me it on YouTube. Has anyone seen it? Has anyone watched seen the John Lewis advert? It's about this little dragon called Edgar. And Edgar can't stop burning things and spoiling everybody's fun. He melts the ice rink. He sets fire to the Christmas tree and the lights and everything around it. No one wants to be around Edgar. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you're the person that no one else wants to have around? You feel like every time you turn up, you ruin it for everyone else. In fact, just like Edgar, you seem incapable of not ruining a situation. You're not that great to be around. Others seem to turn their back on you. But just like the little girl in the advert who sticks with Edgar through thick and thin, she camps outside his door if need be just to check he's okay. That's what it's like to have Jesus with us. That's what it's like to have the Lord with you. Someone who never gives up on you. Someone who's happy to stand up for us when no one else is. Someone who's happy to sit beside us in our messed up state, even though we might even be breathing fire and literally causing mayhem. Jesus takes us as we are. And because he's with us, we get invited to the big party in heaven. The Lord is with you when others are looking down on you, when you know you're the worst person in the room. The Lord is with you even though it feels like no one else is, when you're alone and unable to love yourself. Jesus says, I am with you. The verse from Isaiah echoes loudly in this whole story. Do not fear, for I am with you. We read in Isaiah chapter 41. I can imagine the fear, the trepidation that this woman had turning up to Simon the Pharisee's house. She knew fine well what everyone thought about her. She knew what people would be saying about her. She knows there's going to be jokes made about her. There's going to be derogatory remarks made about her as she steps through that room. She'd get abuse. She might even have known some of the other people, some of the other men in that room. Imagine the fear that she had walking in. She would have been afraid, but she ended up not needing to be because Jesus was with her and Jesus had her back. Finally, this story tells us something about the mission of Jesus. The reason why he came. What was at the core of Jesus' mission and the reason that we had that first Christmas? The whole point of his life and his birth and his resurrection. He came to reach out to the broken. He came to restore and transform lives. He came to bring peace and hope and joy and love. It's a mission of forgiveness. The parable that Jesus told round the table is a story of forgiveness. There were two debtors, one who owed a lot and one who owed a little. But they were both debtors. They were both in debt. We're all sinners. We read that in Romans. We are all sinners. And some of us need forgiven a little, and some of us need forgiven a lot. But we all need forgiven. And that's what the mission of Jesus is all about. The reason why the woman was being so lavish and pouring the perfume over his feet was because she has been forgiven. And as she was reminded regularly throughout that whole evening, she had sinned a lot. But that meant she had been forgiven a lot. And she wants to say thank you and tell Jesus that she loves him. Earlier I mentioned this picture, which actually comes from Luke chapter 8. And I said, like every day in Advent, as we go through the Facebook page, and we can look at that, because there's a video that goes with the reading. You can get the link from the Facebook page today. So please have a look back. And when you get back, I want you to listen to Asha's story. Asha is this person who's modeling in this picture, the person who is modeling holding the hem of Jesus' coat. Asha's a worker in the Wild Olive Tree Cafe, which is on St. George's Tron, in St. George's Tron Church at the top of Buchanan Street in Glasgow. And in the video, she tells of her story. And it's a hard story. It's a story that starts with a violent childhood. It's a story of tragedy in her family and in her relationships. She talks of being lonely. She talks of starting to drink when she was the age of 12. She talks of starting to inject heroin when she was 14. She talks of how she progresses to deal drugs, about times that she spent in prison. The only reason she goes to church in the first place is because there's a recovery cafe taking place in the church. And as she's walking down, she thinks there's going to be a lot of addicts in there. That's a great place for me to go to try and sell Valium. Asha knew that her sins were many. And the story goes on. As she tells her story, it gets on to the point when her partner goes missing and they end up finding his body in the River Clyde. And this is what she says. Asha was saying there, she said she couldn't forgive herself that when she was turned her life to Christ, Christ enabled her to free herself up. All the things that she couldn't forgive herself for, Jesus gave her a new life. Jesus came to bring freedom and a new life. And that's what he did for Asha. That's what he did for the woman that was pouring perfume over his feet. That's what he's done for all of us. Many people in this room know what it means to have new life, to be forgiven. Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Week 2 of Advent is traditionally about peace. And the woman in today's story hadn't been able to get any peace. Her life was all over the place, just as Asha's life had been, just as some of us have experienced in our lives. And the only reason we can have peace in our lives is because Jesus has saved us. And it's faith in him that saves us and enables us to go in peace. And it's a peace that continues to be offered. Jesus' message today to all of us here is that he has come to bring peace. Peace into every turbulent, messed up, distressed bit of our lives. a peace that only comes to us because he is with us and he forgives us. If you need that peace, if you're sitting here this morning and think you need that peace, peace that comes with the presence of Jesus, the peace that comes with his forgiveness, don't leave here without speaking to somebody about that. There's people here who will pray with you after the service. Maria is going to come up in a minute or two and just explain how we can respond to that, maybe through our own prayers or being prayed with other people. But if you're feeling that need for peace and feeling that need for forgiveness, the Lord is with us and is going to provide that for us. Let's pray together, and then Maria will come up and lead our response to God's word.